RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So to the government-funded HEDS, or if you say it another way on the spelling, HEDS, assessment framework being conducted on year 9 students, that's 12 and 13-year-olds, under the guise of health and wellness checks, and why we should be concerned, very concerned, extremely concerned. Joining me is independent journalist and founder of Let Kids Be Kids, Penny Marie. Penny, thanks for coming on this morning.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on again.
Is it HEDS or the other one?
I think it's HEDS. When you listen to the podcast that we share with Dame Sue Bagshaw talking about it, she calls it HEDS. Yeah.
All right. What is it exactly?
So when we became aware of it, a parent had received a letter, and obviously lots of parents have received a letter, and what Te Whatu Ora calls it is a wellness check, health and wellness check, and they call it an assessment format. But when we actually did some research, we found out that it's actually called a psychosocial assessment tool. So it was being presented a little differently to parents compared to what it actually was in the medical.
So health was an ambiguous term.
Somewhat. It seems to be that they
didn't actually mean physical health necessarily.
Or wellness, yeah, because they're actually digging invasively to find out things that are wrong, which to me doesn't sound like health and wellness.
That sounds like a fishing expedition.
It does, yeah.
All right, so how did it come to your notice?
Yeah, so we have a great network of parents and grandparents around the country, and so a parent sent us a copy of a letter that they received back at the beginning of the year, just before the school year started actually, and it was relating to their incoming year 9 student, so first year at high school, and it was saying that at their school, and because the government had given extra funding, they were now eligible for this extra health and wellness check. And that's when they said that it was going to be called this HEDS assessment. And the letter had some quite concerning parts in it, and the main one being that the parent had to opt out of the letter, and they had to do so in writing to the school by a certain date, or otherwise their child was in.
So that's the first alarm bell, opting out. It should be opting in should be the default, right?
Yeah, and I mean, for people like us that are kind of a little cynical about what's going on and non-full disclosure, we've got our eyes open a little wider. So when things like this come across many parents, it's got the Te Whatu Ora's logo on it, and they probably don't think twice about it. But one of the other things was, this is about a student who hasn't yet started at school, so they've been enrolled, but they haven't yet shown up for their first day of school. And already the letter, which pertains to the school, so obviously the data came from the school for this child, was coming from Te Whatu Ora and the local public health nurse, not even from the school itself. So that then showed that there was a leakage of information out to the Ministry of Health or the Te Whatu Ora before the child even started attending school. That was another red flag.
Yeah. So I'm just looking here. HEDS assessment, psychosocial assessment tool, identifying risk and protective factors to help form care plans with young people. So this is not catching people who've already got a problem. This is kind of getting in earlier than that. What?
Yeah.
to do what? I wonder.
Yeah. So I'll just read out to you what HEDS stands for. So it's HEEADSSS, which is why we don't know really whether it's called HEDS or HEDS or something like that. So it stands for Home, Education, Employment, Eating, Activities, Drugs, Sexuality, Suicide/Depression, and Safety. So they're now saying that they're going to implement these this questionnaire onto students unless the parent has opted out. And like you say, the concern is that potentially this tool was developed once a child starts presenting with some sort of a concern. But now the government is funding it. And I think it actually has been going on for a while. We just hadn't seen it. That actually all children go through it, regardless of presenting with a problem or not.
Do we go through the various letters? Do you think anything in there that particularly jumps out? Well, okay, eating and exercise, I was sort of talking about that before. That's in there. And drug use, well, yeah, I suppose.
But the thing is, we started looking online and we actually found the assessment questions. So I can read out a couple of those because one, you know, can sound a bit innocuous, but actually when it comes to eating, because it's saying, what do you eat for breakfast, lunch and dinner, which could be okay. But if the parent isn't aware that the child's being asked even that sort of question, it could be a bit invasive. Then it says, have you ever made yourself sick on purpose or taken medication to control your weight? And this, remember that this is being promoted through Te Whatu Ora, is being asked to incoming year nine, so that's 12 and 13 year olds. So who are not necessarily presenting with an eating disorder. Okay. So, And then when it goes to sexuality, and this is where obviously Let Kids Be Kids always has its antenna up, because talking about sex is the difference about sexuality, because that's actually questioning what they're calling gender norms. So under sex, they're talking about porn use, sexual activity, sexual attraction, understanding of consensual sex. There's a few questions in there about porn use. So again, is it necessary?
Doesn't that sort of kind of promote it in a way?
Well, that was when I first looked at this, I had massive red flags, but I thought, well, I could be perceived as being biased because I do so much research into all of this and I talk to so many people who are affected by it. So I actually contacted a bunch of experts, including psychologists, psychiatrists, lawyers, ex-principals, and I just laid the information at their feet and said, here's this assessment. You may or may not know about it. Here are the questions. Here's the information that we've found about how the people using it are being trained and how it's being put out to those using it. Can you please go and look at it all and come back to me with your analysis? So they all did that. And in fact, I had about 17 people that I reached out to, and most of them got back to me within 48 hours and they were very concerned. So this is where it's not just me saying, hey, I'm really sensitive about this. You know, I'm gender critical. This is actually asking the experts. Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious that 12 and 13 year olds is too young for any of this kind of flagging of this information, is my gut response to that. And who wouldn't understand that?
Yeah, and that's it. So the psychologist, psychotherapist that we talked to were saying this is potentially creating a problem that didn't exist. And now, it's very obvious that there are children who are in these situations.
Of course.
But it doesn't appear that this approach is who they're targeting here. They're actually asking, you know, the government's funding for it to be asked of all kids. And so this is what the psychologists say, is that it will potentially throw up false statements, because kids put in a situation might not feel comfortable and might be thinking, well, I think I need to answer the question that they're trying to get me to answer rather than actually speak honestly. Yeah. Like, have they built a relationship with the nurse or the counsellor? And is it even appropriate?
Who are the practitioners?
Yeah, so in the video that we put out recently, and I'd love people to go and watch it, because we actually drop in there parts of a podcast with Dame Sue Bagshaw, who is one of the real pushers of this. And she says that she teaches it to all year five medical students at university, but she also mentions teachers as well and other like school counsellors and things like that. So it seems, and in fact, since we've even put the video out yesterday, we've had people come back saying, yep, I've asked our GP and they use it. We know it's happening at our local high school. We believe that it's happening in many public schools around the country. But no one's talking about it because no one really knew it was happening.
So it's a sort of tentacles sort of spread out wide and into all sorts of areas.
And my understanding, and the reason that it came, because I know that they use it at Starship Hospital, but the reason that it came across our desk, really, because we look at stuff in the schools, so it came on a letter from Te Whatu Ora from the public health nurse. Now, schools, this is my understanding so far, is that schools, often at high school in particular, have public health nurses. The public health nurse is not, their contract is not with the school, it's actually with something like Pinnacle Health or a subsidiary of the health department. And so they may be trained nurses, or there may also be counsellors using it. And Dame Sue Bagshaw actually does talk about teachers using it.
Because you have to be very careful the practitioner really needs, I mean, they probably shouldn't be going here at all anyway. But if they are, I mean, it could be any kind of random.
Yeah, it could be people. I mean, it's called a psychosocial tool. So then you would sort of think that the people using it would be trained, qualified psychotherapists.
Yeah.
Teachers aren't. I don't know whether a public health nurse is. They may have done a small course on it. So we found online that there's like a, don't quote me on it, it might be like a 4-hour course that they go through on how to use this tool. I mean, does that then make them qualified to be able to deal with the situation at large?
And is there a groupthink bias at work too? Because you tend to get that.
Is there a what's that? A groupthink?
Well, if you've got on the practitioner side, a kind of groupthink, everybody thinks the same.
Yeah, my concern is that if they're all learning this, they're genuinely believing that this is the best approach because they're being told, either
that's
go
right.
through university, which we know is where a lot of this is coming from. So they genuinely get up in the morning thinking that they're doing the right thing. They don't think they're doing the wrong thing. But have they had the best advice on what a child's mind is like and what their brain isn't fully developed?
Well, they won't be debating it amongst themselves, will they?
No, they're just getting trained and told that this is how you use this tool. Mm.
Now, the acronym letters, what they stand for, they're all obvious kind of categories, aren't they? Home, education, eating, activities, peer relationships, drug use, that's cigarettes and alcohol as well, sexuality, suicide, self-harm, safety. Well, I mean, that's the checklist anyway, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is, but the questions that are put into the list that we have in the report to show you, they could be considered quite invasive for parents. So you need to remember that under the Privacy Act, they make it very clear that unless the child's life is in danger, no one's going to know what they say. The parent is never going to know. So firstly, a parent doesn't know necessarily that the child is going to get asked these questions or when. And let's just say, because let's be real about this, life isn't perfect, but it doesn't mean that you're being abused. So your teenager might have had an argument with mum that morning and then goes off to school. And then that's the day that they get asked this assessment. And they're like, how are you getting on with your parents? You know, are you treated okay at home?
You're not feeling too good about that right now.
Right. On that day, the child's like, awesome, I've got an adult here that I can offload to about my terrible mother. You know, what if that's the situation? And so then they're like, oh, there, I'm your trusted. And you can hear it in the podcast with Dame Sue Bagshaw. She's training the people that are using this to become the child's trusted advocate.
Oh, separate from the parents. So that's a...
Very
okay,
separate.
Now we're into scary territory, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And literally this is what we do is we just try and raise awareness and so that parents can look for themselves and then they can decide.
They want to be the parent.
They want to be the parent. Definitely. I would say that is
definitely. How could anyone think they could do that?
Well, from what we see, the state tries to do that in a number of ways. And this is an example of the joining together of how it's happening through the education system and then how it's happening through the health system. So, you know, she talks about, and there's another article that we reference as well, where they basically say, hey, try and get the child away from the parent when you ask these questions. Don't ask the questions in front of the parent. And if the parent is a helicopter parent or one of those parents that doesn't want to leave the child alone, you may need to get sneaky about it.
Oh,
now,
man. Yep.
That is what they're teaching in university. They're really, what they're doing, I believe, is deconstructing on purpose the importance of the medical professional or the counsellor or the teacher, putting the relationship of the child to their parent as a priority, suddenly it's becoming a threat.
I listed out those words because and said they're all the obvious categories because I'm assuming all that information is pretty well known through all the other data that's collected broadly but could be brought together, done anyway, I would have thought.
Well, my thing when it comes to an individual child is that and we've talked about it in previous interviews with parents, is teachers, so let's go back to the education side of this, which is where this is happening too. Teachers or people that, adults that the child is coming across in their daily life should be trained to notice if a child is presenting with something that could be of concern. So they could be coming to school with bruises. They're obviously, you know, if they're turning up not having had breakfast or not fully not clothed with shoes. And
I could tell that within a day or two.
That's right. So people who should be trained to work with children should notice that and should then have a process where they ring fence that child, whether that process we think is robust at the moment or not. But the point of this survey is that they are saying, well, government's funding for us to just ask all the kids like a blanket thing, making an assumption that there might be something wrong in that home, rather than actually using that adults, it's basically loading the child with the responsibility of needing to decipher what's going on in their lives, whereas the adult should be responsible for identifying. Like you say, you pick it up pretty quick when a kid has changed behaviour or do whatever. You should be dealing with it on a one-on-one.
Remember that repressed memory thing that was happening back when the Croatian Christchurch thing happened with Peter Ellis? You remember that?
Mm.
And that came about from sessions sort of like this, where kids built on what perhaps was being suggested by the questioning, etc. And that was horrific. And it seems to me that the same potential exists here. You start to, let's say you're at a particular school, particular type of, I don't know, nurse or counsellor, and, you know, you, through the questioning of the kids, you've got 10 families on your list now that you think of, could be abusing the kids.
Yeah.
You know? And they're perfectly normal families. It's just from that interaction you're making that judgment. Now life can turn to hell.
That's right. And the reason why I think this is a big deal is because we know that it's happening. I mean, you would be the same as me. We hear the stories of families being destroyed when they don't need to be. Like, there isn't, you know, there is abuse going on out there, but there are a lot of parents and families for whom abuse is not the problem, that the state intervenes and takes over, and that is not the best outcome for the child or for the family. So we really need to look at, you know, all of this stuff from a really high level, look at the key people behind it, like Dame Sue Bagshaw that we raise. You know, she's been involved with family planning for over 20 years. She really likes to push, you know, questioning a child's gender, the child questioning their own gender. You know, we have proven that that's not in their best interests. Doesn't make us a trans hater to say that. It's, you know, we're sticking up for the kids' best interests.
That thing you mentioned before about eating disorders, questioning on eating disorders, that's another example of where you could actually create a problem by suggesting it.
Yeah, I think so. And kids have got enough.
Because it's quite a specific definition. It even tells you the process, you know.
Yeah, it actually does. And that's it. So that's what sort of the psychologists that are looking at these questions are saying. These are poorly formed questions that are leading to a response. And if you have a child in there who's being asked those questions, they may have a response because they are thinking, what is it that they want to hear? Rather than actually feeling comfortable to open up and actually say what they want to say. That, I mean, one of the bits that we listened to in the video that we've done is Dame Sue Bagshaw. Obviously, she's talking about it in the context of doctors because she's talking about her fifth year medical students. But she says, oh, you know, for example, a kid comes in to the doctor's surgery because they need an inhaler, and while they're there, just ask them, you know, do they know what gender they are? It's like, I'm sorry. Parents need to know that that's the intention that these medical students are being taught, because that's not appropriate. If I take my child in for an inhaler, I would be disgusted if they started asking that sort of question unprompted when my child.
Well, that's happening. That must be happening quite a bit then.
Well, it's definitely being used. So this is where it really comes down to the parents to sort of if they're seeing their children displaying, you know, shutting off from them or things like that, or wanting to be secretive, I would start asking some questions. There's no, you know, you can ask the doctor's surgery if they're using this assessment. You can ask.
Well, that's it. I was going to say, you get around everyone. I mean, if I was a parent with kids this age, I'd probably now preempt this by calling the principal and saying, first of all, you're opting me out. You fill out the paperwork. It's not my problem. And if I get wind of any of this, that's what they need to hear, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest or recommend to parents who are concerned about these situations to make sure that they know all of the surveys that are being asked in school, because there's a number of them. They do little kids' versions of the census. They've got, and in fact, our report talks about it, a software that they're using now to help with the mental health crisis called Good Space Schools. Good Space Schools is using parts of the HEDS assessment. So you've got to ask about what is every survey that is being done on my child, because I opt them out of all of them. And on that, We put official information act requests into the school, into the nurse and everything, to ask them what their legal standpoint was as to why they think that they have the jurisdiction to do this. And what we got back from the school was a picture of the parents' signature on the enrolment form. That was the evidence that they had said yes to this. So right. Parents need to know this. When they sign the enrolment form for their child to go to school, read the fine print. And we've looked at lots of
enrolment. So that was just a general enrolment signature for general enrolment. And they're saying, well, it's in the buried in the small print that no one even thinks might print. Even be there. So they just sign it off, you know.
Buried in the small print of your school enrolment form is, we may use this information and send it on to third parties. And that include the Ministry of Health. It includes the police. It includes, you know, like, I mean, it's stuff that you would always have trusted in the past, like NZQA. Sure, they need to have it so that they can track the kids' NCEA results. But it's the devil's in the detail of the fine print. And so I think what we need to do is start actively telling the school that we're opting out of anything like that.
Yeah. All right, coming up against time. So, I mean, I got my thoughts. Why ultimately do you think they're doing this? Because we could paint a real dark picture, or we could paint a light picture to say, well, naturally you want to, you know, you've got all these problems, you want to head them off, you want to make it all better, kinder, all that sort of stuff. But I don't think it's that. So what is it?
Maybe I could give two answers, and one being the close-up view, which is you've got a doctor or a nurse or a teacher who's been trained to do this, and they literally think that they're doing the right thing. So don't go, you know, shooting the messenger here. I think
they actually feel
that this is the right thing because they've been
told.
Though
they should have some unease with it as well if they were thinking, critical thinking people.
Well, if I think the critical thinking part comes
like blind sheep.
Secretive from the parents. When it's secretive from the parents, I think people with a conscience and who have their own children who are doing this.
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there's the big picture view. So there's the sort of nationwide, international view on this. And there appears to be a very definite move, very strategic, very well funded and very coordinated attempt to destroy the family unit from within, which is removing parental authority.
So you think Bagshaw is trying to destroy the family unit from within with the best intentions?
I think she's trying to seed doubt into the child's minds and think, there's other programs around as well. And we talk about the Keeping Ourselves Safe program that the police do, which is not part of the sex ed. It's a safety program. But it, again, asks questions of children around, it stops them from calling their parents mum and dad and things like that. So there's definitely a pattern. I'm not saying it's all so, but there's definitely a pattern in the theology or the philosophy of dealing with children these days, which doesn't appear to be wanting to strengthen the relationship with the family.
Yep. Mm. Okay. People want to find out more about this, Penny Marie. Where's the best place to go as far as you're concerned?
Yep. So if they go to letkidsbekids.nz and go to our resources page, we've got a resource there, which is the actual analysis that we did the report. And also you can go to our social media, all of our social media. We've got the video and links. We've also got the link to the movie that we talk about that's just come out from American Frontline Doctors, and that's called What is a Doctor? And I would recommend everybody watch that. So just check us out on social media.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Okay, we were talking about the HEDIS or HEDAS or HEDS, I'll stick with the middle one, assessment framework with Penny Marie, independent journalist, founder of Let Kids Be Kids. Thanks, Penny Marie, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.